Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ito Kusam Nitya Girita Hasane Imukti Sangyamana Adi Purushe. Krishna Vasak Dita Pate Chitur Vijay Parasita Milita Drig Vidarya. Thereupon, that man, he spoke on different subjects with thousands of meanings. And he fought on thousands of battlefields, protected thousands of men, stopped speaking, and being completely freed from all bondage, withdrew his mind from everything else and fixed his wide open eyes upon the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who stood before him, four-handed, dressed in yellow garments that glittered and shined. Purport, in the momentous hour of leaving his material body, Vishnudev set the glorious example concerning the important function of the human form of life. The subject matter which attracts the dying man becomes the beginning of his next life. Therefore, if one is absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, he is sure to go back to Godhead without any doubt. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8:5-15. I'm not sure I'll read all the verses, but I'll read some of them. And whoever at the time of death quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Without doubt, of this there is no doubt, Krishna is saying himself that we can actually attain him. He who meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Bhakta, is sure to reach me. So the first one said, there is no doubt. Second, he will attain without fail. Third, attain without doubt, but he's sure to reach me. Okay, and then there's so many other verses how, you know, this is done. Sri Vishwadev attained the perfection of quitting his body at will and was fortunate enough to have Lord Krishna, the object of his attention, personally present at the time of death. He therefore fixed his open eyes upon him. He wanted to see Krishna for a long time out of his spontaneous love to him. Because he was a pure devotee, he had very little to do with the detailed performance of yogic principles. Simply bhakti yoga is enough to bring out about perfection. Therefore, the ardent desire of Bhishmadev is to see the person of Lord Krishna, the most lovable object, and by the grace of the Lord, Sri Bhishmadev had this opportunity at the last stage of his grieving. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanam Jana Salakaya Daksu Nivatam Yena Vismai Sri Virave Namaha Vichaitanya Mano Vishtam Vapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadam Tipam Adadana Spinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Julisham Janma Janmani Sairagya Bhakti Visham Tiyatnai Apayam Amaradip Sanandam Satam Buddhiya Paradruka Dhruki Sanatanastam Prabhu Mastriyami Vansha Kalpa Tirugyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vicha Patitanam Pabhanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Vidadha, Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Vrindavan. I guess I have one more day after this, and then on Tuesday I leave Vrindavan. It's certainly been, it's relevant to the class because I'm not even sure how I'll get it, but it's been a very, very wonderful and super engaging last days. It's every minute of the day is being absorbed, even in giving class, preparing to leave, taking people around, chanting, etc. And it's been very, 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 very rewarding. Henry, I hope he's on there today. I don't think he'll be too embarrassed, but I'll share part of his letter. He just came back with his a son of his friend who's never even been to a temple. And we had a wonderful time. Let's go down a little. There it is. He wrote a letter to his friends. He sent me a copy. I have just had the most wonderful trip to Vrindavan. Chanting with Parakadamba, being at Radha Damodar and Bhakti Siddhanta's appearance day, taking the dust from his Pushpa Samadhi on my head, circumambulating Govindakund, and getting so excited at seeing Govardhan Hill, I dive into the dust for a bath, visiting TKG's Pushpa Samadhi, feeling the love of my close friends who reside in the Dham, rubbing cow's neck, and he's just offering his thanks to all his friends for the support and making Krishna conscious so fun and satisfying. Never been more happy and satisfied in my whole life. So he sent me a copy of that letter. The Dham is a very, very potent place, and if you approach any devotional item, especially the five most potent items, a humble heart without offense, then there are really wonderful sentiments that develop. And been busy, but it's been worth it because there's a fruit from that, that people go deeper in Krishna consciousness. And it was almost like tag team, but as soon as Henry was going, I guess the day before, there was one day left, then some very nice ladies from Kasturba's Bhakti Collective, Radha Damodar Yoga Center, and those of you who have been helping with the feast may know some of them that come on Janmashtami, etc. And they were here for 4 or 5 days, and to see people of that nice caliber and sincerity, how absorbed they got getting. Just all day long, Krishna's just opening up doors, and I just sent them on a rickshaw to Radha Raman for the evening artik, where the residents of Radha Raman, the congregation, come at 7 o'clock to chant the songs, the Gopal Bhatta and the Kirtans. And in the restaurant today, we met Karnamita. I hope you've heard her sing, and we just met her, and she really impressed me. And you have to come to Radha Raman because she studied there for 7, 8 years. She's a good friend of Seva Priya, maybe, and others. And I've never seen anybody sing like her. She sang for us. And then in the middle, just before they left, Balaram Baba, who's my neighbor, and Braj Mohan, his assistant, just came in and begged me to take us all to Prasadam at 8 o'clock. Well, okay, quarter to 8 here, I told him not to after my class, 8:30, so try to come a little bit earlier. And it just goes on and on, and the wonderful class here, of the story we've been getting into of Gopinath, Gopinath Patanayaka, and studying with very, very qualified devotees. Now it's my last day, and we're having a big kirtan here. Nityananda and his sister's coming back, Neela, husband John Paul, Mother Srimati, Dadu, and we'll have a final kirtan and continue discussing. And this story of Gopinath Patanayaka is particularly founded, relevant, because at the end of the story, Gopinath Patanayaka, he had stolen the king's money, but because he was a brother of Ramananda Roy, the devotees appealed to Lord Chaitanya to please help, and Lord Chaitanya didn't want to get involved. And he wanted to compromise his neutrality, and he wanted to set parameters around what he would do and not do. He didn't want to deal with devotees to simply fulfill their material desires, because that doesn't satisfy people. If there's one material problem, there'll be a next material problem. And if that one's satisfied, there'll be a next one. And if it's a sannyasi, his duty is to give faith. And if you can give faith in the pure, holy name of Krishna, then you solve all people's problems. But you can't do that unless you're free to spend time with the name. And if you're just dealing with all so many things, you want to... He set that kind of example, and at the end, it was a very nice thing. We just discussed it today, that, you know, this is the power of a devotee. Even though Lord Chaitanya wouldn't get involved, because Gopinath Patanayaka was a relative of his devotee, Ramananda Roy, then King Pratha Karuja and others showed mercy on him. You know, Lord Chaitanya didn't personally act. He continued to keep his aloofness from this to protect his bhajan and his neutrality and his position. But still, he got some, as Gopinath Patanayaka, because of that, he got the mercy, just the connection with the devotee, he gets the mercy. And King Pratapurudra not only frees him from the capital punishment that the prince was going to impose, but frees him from that, but doubles his salary and puts a silk wrapper on his forehead indicating that his position is secure. The Gopinath Patanayaka, this is a very nice point. He deserved to be punished. Instead of being punished, because of his connection with the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his salary was doubled. He's not only protected, his salary is doubled. His position was enhanced. And then what happens in a situation like that with a devotee, sometimes I may have to answer the phone even because so many things are going on. But what happened is because of that, Gopinath Patanayaka, his material desires were fulfilled. And what was he doing? He was meditating. That's Tirena Bhakti Yogena. When you meditate intensely on Krishna, then your desires get fulfilled. Akama sarva karma va moksha karma udaradi tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham akama. Whether you desire Krishna, you have no desires. Sarva karma, all desire, moksha karma, you desire liberation. Tibrena bhakti yogena is forceful devotional service, and all desires are fulfilled. And what happened is, because of his dealings, his material desires were fulfilled. And what that happens is, you should have been killed, you're saved, but because of my connection with Krishna, I'm saved, and what is that called? That's mercy, undeserved kindness. And when his heart was filled with mercy, then he became satisfied in heart. And then your material desires look pale in comparison. Because the only reason we want to satisfy material desires is to become fulfilled in heart. But to be fulfilled in heart can only happen when the heart is filled with devotion and filled with love. So when Krishna fulfills one's material desires, or if he fulfills one's material desires, then one will feel mercy, and then his heart will feel, and then he'll feel satisfied. And then what will happen? He'll become detached from those desires. An interesting point, in the story of Dhruva Maharaj, then what happens when he compared the love he was feeling in his heart from Krishna, from receiving Krishna's mercy, to the desired object that he received from his efforts, which he wanted a planet that was greater than his grandfather, Lord Brahma. But when he compared that to the satisfaction in heart he felt from Krishna's mercy and the love for Krishna, he made a comparison. The love for Krishna, the satisfaction in heart, and the planet greater than Lord Brahma, he said, the only analogy I can think of is compared to what I'm getting, the jewel of what I'm getting, that material opulence is like a broken piece of glass. You cannot compare it. So Gopinath Patanayaka, then he told Lord Chaitanya, I didn't get the real mercy. Now I'm satisfied in this way, but I didn't get the real mercy. You never got the real mercy? My brothers got the real mercy. And why did my brothers get the real mercy? My brothers got the real mercy because they became detached from material life. And because they're detached from material life, they can fill their hearts with Krishna, which is real satisfaction. And therefore, please free me from material life, detach me from material life. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him and said, just do one thing, just to obey my order and don't rip off the king anymore. And pay your taxes and maintain your family. And then it said what kind of mercy is that? You're keeping me in my material position. That's what the analysis. What kind of mercy is that? Well, if you analyze it, what is mercy? Mercy is what brings you closer to Krishna. And therefore, mercy is a relative term. Or the objects of mercy are relative. One man's food is another man's poison. For one person to get come closer to Krishna, he has to take sannyas. Another person to come closer to Krishna, he has to get married. But the main thing is, which is the end of the story, which was very nice, is that Lord Chaitanya didn't even try to help, but everyone was satisfied. And that's also an interesting lesson, too. That so much will happen. And I've seen this, actually. I've seen this here, taking these people around. I made this sacrifice to go to the people. Krishna made so many arrangements so that I can do it and have time for everything. So, anyway, I'm a little disjointed today because of this. I'm sure when I get back to the States, in the States, I don't live among a community of hundreds and hundreds of people who are coming in all the time. And I'll have time to prepare the classes in a more substantial way. I'm very serious about this service. This is my most important service to give these Sundays. So I do feel not satisfied in the sense that the level of preparation for them is not the level that I like. And I know that I've kept up a nice steady number of people on the Sangha because I've taken the effort to prepare. So we'll do a little bit of Bhishma Dev, and then I may have to run over to Balaram Baba and do some other things. So this is so nice here. We talk about Bhishma Dev and how the whole story is the mind of God, that God is focused on his devotees. God is a loving person. And you're a loving person. You're focused on others' desires, not your own. A person who is selfish sees the world in terms of his own desires. A person who is loving sees the world in terms of others' desires. So God himself is loving. He sees the world in terms of his devotee's desires. And this is a great devotee, and he wants to fulfill his devotee's desires. And therefore, he inspires Yudhisthira in the heart that he should go see his grandfather on the battlefield. And then he asks the questions which Krishna himself, Vyasadeva himself, is not able to answer. And in front of everybody, all the assembled sages, the glory of Bhishma Devi. And he's answering all these questions about occupational duties and the duties of a king and the different responsibilities of different ashrams. And he's already answered the question about why bad things happen to good people. Everyone's watching this, and while he's describing this, the sun comes into the northern hemisphere in the auspicious position of the period which is desired by the mystics who can die at their own will. So here, and therefore this wonderful description is there. Bhishma Dev is given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as an example of someone in Prema Bhakti. And Prema Bhakti means that the love of Krishna is so intense, it's so thick, that there's nothing else that can possibly penetrate the consciousness of Krishna. And that's the goal of life. The goal of life is to be free from illusion and to see Krishna everywhere. And it's such a beautiful description, and it's so relevant. Yeah, look at the sentence that Prabhupada says and how much the subject matter which attracts the dying man becomes the beginning of his next life. So what subjects attract you now will be the beginning of your next life. That's it. And it's not that you can automatically focus the mind. The only way the mind can be absorbed in the moment of death is spontaneous attachment, because spontaneous attachment is not dependent on controlling the mind. And at the time of death, the mind is uncontrolled. You can't fix the mind. It's very hard to fix the mind by the force of intelligence, especially an ordinary person. Even now it's hard for us to do that when we're healthy. When we chant the Maha Mantra, it's hard for us to fix the mind on Krishna. So let them speak at the time of death. And the time of death will be even more difficult. It's a very sobering conception. But what we're able to actually think about is that we're attached. When you're attached, you cannot forget Krishna. When you have spontaneous love for Krishna, you cannot forget Krishna, no matter how hard you try. It's just like when someone has a relationship and the relationship breaks up, and they have some attachment to that person. No matter how they try, they cannot forget that person. I've seen it. Had a friend of mine split up with his wife, attached to his family. No matter what he does, he cannot stop thinking. No matter what condition you're in. In a similar way, at the time of death, if you are attached to Krishna, you cannot stop speaking of Krishna. I was in the garden of Dallas with Prabhupada, and every night he would read Krishna books. This was very, very wonderful. Prabhupada would sit in this rocking chair, and at one time, there was some kind of pastime with the gopis. And just the thought of Prabhupada speaking on the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam and sitting at his lotus feet listening to that. And I remember Prabhupada was speaking from the 10th canto. And when Prabhupada was speaking from the 10th canto, there was one story about the gopis, and they were criticizing Krishna for something. And then, but they were criticizing, but they kept on talking about Krishna, 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 Krishna. And Prabhupada was laughing. Prabhupada started to laugh. He said, they cannot stop talking about Krishna. And we all know that we have spontaneous attachment. And if they're not for Krishna, we know we can't stop thinking of those things. So when one has a spontaneous attraction for Krishna, and he remembers Krishna, the subject matter which attracts the dying man that he's attached to becomes the beginning of his next life. Therefore, if one is absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord Krishna, he's sure to go back to Godhead without doubt. And after this description of the eighth chapter, where it describes, you know, the yogi, Prabhupada makes a point here. Because when one's a pure devotee, it's not a mechanical thing. Bhakti is enough to bring one to perfection. Bhakti is enough to bring one to perfection. He doesn't have to do it in a mechanical way, waiting at the time, etc. And this Uttarayana, where it says he is waiting for Uttarayana, I think Uttarayana means also one who loved Uttara, or one who protected Uttara. So he wasn't just waiting, Bhishma Dev, for a particular mechanical time. He was waiting for Krishna to come. That's what he was waiting for. That's Uttarayana. There's some interpretation, one of the commentaries, Uttarayana, maybe one who's devoted or saved or helped, something like that. He's waiting. And then he focused his consciousness. And this is the perfection. By pure meditation, looking at Sri Krishna, he at once was freed from all material auspiciousness and was relieved of all bodily pains caused by the arrow wound. Thus, all the external activities of the senses at once stopped, and he prayed. He prayed transcendentally the control of all living beings while quitting his body. He becomes free from pain. How? Because what is the body? The body is vikara. It's transforming. We're not the body. But we experience the transformations of the body due to the identification with the body. And what is the cause of the identification with the body? That we want to be the enjoyer and controller and not the devotee of Krishna. So it's the sense of enjoying and wanting to be the controller and enjoyer that unites the consciousness with the body and makes the soul experience the transformations of the body. But when one serves Krishna and sees Krishna and focuses consciousness on Krishna and the desire to serve Krishna awakens within the heart, then the illusion that I am the body, I am the controller. As Prabhupada, I think that same eighth chapter defines the body, defines karma as getting a material body by the product of your food and desires. Anyway, the cause of the illusion that I am the illusion of accepting the body as the self is the desire not to be a devotee, but to be an independent enjoyer. So when you cultivate the desire to be a devotee of Krishna, you become free from that illusion. And then even he's relieved from all the bodily pains caused by the arrows. Somehow today, because of circumstance, I'm going to give class another week, finish the Bhishma chapter. I may take a week off, and you know, tomorrow, next week, we'll try to finish this chapter. I'll do this now. Anybody have any questions?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Chaitanya. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. Thank you very much for a very illuminating class once again. This is kind of a remedial question, I think. You spoke earlier about how
are you on a speakerphone?
No, is that better though?
That's much better, yeah.
Okay. You spoke earlier about how when we see things in a loving way, then we see things in terms of others, how to please others, and therefore Krishna is also thinking like that. And he does things to bring us closer to him, and that he advised Yudhisthira from within Yudhisthira's heart that he should go see Bhishmadeva. So we are chanting while trying to avoid offenses in order that we can hear Krishna's voice from within our heart directing us as to how we can become closer to him. At the same time, you also gave the example that, you know, when we have an attachment to someone, particularly a loved one, someone we have affection for, you know, that we can't help but think about that person, that they spontaneously come to mind. So my question is, how do we make that distinction, particularly when we are, you know, barely approaching the clearing stage in our chanting? How do we make that distinction, or how are we able to differentiate between the voice of our mind speaking from the standpoint of attachment and the voice of Krishna within our heart directing us to him out of love?
Werner, when a child is older?
Yeah. The super soul is the internal, is the Chaitanya Guru. It's the spiritual master in the heart. It's I said this before. Obviously there's many different confirmations. You know, it's a fact that if we're not that advanced, we may not be able to distinguish the mind and the super soul. And if that inspiration is not clear and we're not certain, then we can ask Vaishnavas whom we trust and whom we consider advanced. But in either way, I really, really think the key to this, whether we ask a Vaishnava, you know, whether we ask a Vaishnava to confirm, you know, something, or we really sincerely look in the heart, I think it's the cultivation of sincerity. And the cultivation of sincerity is that we really deeply pray to Krishna that please reveal to me what you want me to do. I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Later, Bhishma Dev is going to call Krishna the leader of the devotees. But leader of the devotees mean what? That Krishna will lead one who is surrendered to his will and desire. So if in heart we become surrendered to Krishna's will and desire, then he will mold and lead us properly. So whether it's internal or external, we're not going to be able to get off the mental plane, which is basically a calculation of selfishness. We're not going to get off the mental plane unless we sincerely want to know what Krishna wants. Not that we want some confirmation to satisfy our own particular desires, But we want to know what's right and what Krishna wants. And there's no distinction between those. We want to know what's right and what's Krishna. So my personal thing, and I saw this happen to me, I mentioned it before, whenever I was in a dilemma in Vrindavan, I would go to Prabhupada Samadhi, very powerful place, and I would put myself in the consciousness, I want to know what you want, what do you want, please tell me. And I think if you make that, if you actually look in your heart and are ready for that, then Krishna will lead you. If you're actually ready for that, but if there's some kind of reservation, like, you know, okay, Krishna, tell me what you want, but really, Krishna, confirm what I want to do, and you're not actually ready to follow Krishna's will, then don't ask him. Don't ask him internally in the heart, and don't ask him externally, because he won't be him. So I think that's the key. I think the key is a sincerity of introspection that looks within our hearts and puts ourselves on the altar of sacrifice. And Krishna acts through those people. Even for preaching Krishna consciousness, the successful preachers are the ones that are malleable to Krishna's will. And I am in awe of my godbrothers who are spreading Krishna consciousness successfully, who have put themselves on the altar of sacrifice and pray deeply in their hearts for Prabhupada. And that's not easy, because what you may have to do, but the thing to do to actually be successful may take a tremendous amount of sacrifice. And whether it is you know, some huge preaching thing or some decision that we have to make. But I would say like this, why do we just have to depend on the heart unless, that, you know, it's clear that we're malleable to Krishna? And I know it's not easy.
Okay.
And there are certain decisions that really, if we look at it, and sincerely look at it, we can say that either one could be Krishna's will. It's not a question of Krishna's will. I want Krishna's will. I do what Krishna says. I just can't figure out what it is. Well, then we can put ourselves at the mercy or the then with that prayer and with that intense prayer, Krishna certainly reveal to us one way or another what to do. If not speaking directly in heart, then by the force of circumstance. Kirtan.
Yes, sir.
What do you think?
Sir. That's very helpful. Very, very helpful.
Oh?
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your sincere question. Anybody else have a question? It's nice questions also, but I really would like to get these texts down. Like anybody who does something, they have a certain standard in which they do it. I have a certain standard of doing these classes that it doesn't take long, but the preparation is that whatever purpose I'm covering, I'm really clear with the purpose, the main point, how it's following. It takes just a little time, which I didn't have today or yesterday or the day before. I just came also from Govardhan. One final visit to Govardhan, and I went there in the morning. I had to do some business activity, wind up some things, management type things I had to do. And then after that, I came there on Friday. Came there for came there for lunch, and then I gave class at the Sanskrit school. Then the next day, I went to Radhakund before I left, and I had Mahanidhi Swami, which was wonderful. What a wonderful sadhu. The way he's developed spiritually, just by putting time into his own personal practices, and we have wonderful discussions of Krishna consciousness. This is real relish in life. In fact, Mother Srimanti today, she sometimes gives me nice things when she, if I can find it. Where is it? She gave me a description of Sadhu Sangha from one of Prabhupada's purports. Kind of looking at it, the things that not, oh, here it is. This is what she wrote. She said Sadhu Sangha defined, and this is the Bhaktivedanta purport. So she took one of Prabhupada's purports and she said, pure devotees always merge in knowledge of Krishna and absorbed in Krishna consciousness, exchange thoughts and realizations as great scientists exchange their views and discuss the results of their research in scientific academies. Such exchanges of thoughts in regard to Krishna give pleasure to the Lord, who therefore favors such devotee with all enlightenment. You discuss Krishna consciousness with others, as you know, Arikirtan asks questions, and we discuss, and we exchange thoughts and realizations as great scientists. And what happens? It gives Krishna pleasure, and then he favors the devotee with all enlightenment. And I felt that way. I felt that way with Mother Srimati and Dadu in my class. As we're going deep into the TC, I feel that way. When I went to see Mahanidhi and we were discussing my paper, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Raghunuga Sadhanabhati, I wrote that paper, and it was very nice. He discussed one fine point which he thought maybe could be understood in a few ways, and discussed the research he was doing, and then with great humility, then I went to Radhakund, where two friends of mine, Prabhupada and Lugas, decided that they would do the highest thing, which is what? Perform service on the bank of Radhakund. And they just, for 6 days, 3-4 hours a day, they scrubbed the steps of Radhakund. You know how it's very, very slippery from the algae? They just were scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing. And I thought, wow, I wish I was here a little bit longer, I could help. And then, anyway, it's just been really nice and very nice. And interesting, one of these ladies, her name is Jana, and she's really, I mean, tonight we had kirtan in my room and they're chanting completely, wholeheartedly, everything. Went to Prabhupada's room and put the head on prop on the bed, and they, you know, and I was just thinking, with these people, without offense, they're just so respectful to Krishna and Krishna's devotees, even though they're well established in the world. But then an interesting thing, I asked her at the end of the second day, I asked them both, what was the place that you, and I always do this, that moved you the most, where you got the most realization, where, and she said, that room in that temple where Guru Maharaj stayed, that was Prabhupada's room. She said it was very special. Then I took him to the Govardhan place, and after meeting Keshava Bharti and after lunch, I said, they're introduced from Kasturba. So I said, you should pay respect at Kasturba's Guru's Samadhi. In the courtyard. They said, yes, we should do that. I said, you should do this for the student. So we walk around. I said, you know, pay your obeisances. They pay the obeisances. And then we circumambulate 3-2 times. I open up the doors, and I take out flowers from Kamal Krishnamurti's lotus feet of a yellow flower. And I give them all, and then we're about to leave. And the lady is just looking at her hand with the flowers and shaking it. And she looks at me, and she said, this is the exact mood and flavor that I got in the Radha Damodar temple in our yoga studio, because that's where it is. The same flavor and mood. And I thought, this isn't coincidence. Those are not Ananda deities which Kastuba established for the pleasure of his spiritual master, Kumar Krishnamaj, whose picture is on the altar. And I thought the things that really pierced the heart were Prabhupada's rules. And Kumar Krishnamaj just said, I thought this is interesting. She's feeling the same flavor of devotion. Because that's Radha Damodar. So there's a transcendental system, actually, connected with the super soul. Very amazing things do happen, and wonderful. And the devotees, actually, the end of the story of Gopinath Patanayaka, the devotees were just chakmakar. They were amazed. They were amazed. And what were they amazed? Amazed at Lord Chaitanya. This is real wonderment. You can have wonderment in Aishwarya, that's, you know, the power and vibhutis of God. And you can have wonder and amazement at the personality of God and how he works to deliver his devotees. And they were just thinking, Lord Chaitanya wanted nothing to do with this. But yet, his mercy was felt anyway. So both happened. Lord Chaitanya didn't compromise himself. At the same time, those in relationship to him were saved. And I wanted to make a point about that too. It is very, very powerful. If you become a bhakta who's fixed in Krishna consciousness, it has tremendous effect on the people connected to you. And I just tell you guys, I told this story before with that saint, Fakir Mohan, this very elevated soul, very humble. One night he wanted to find Parthasarthi Goswami, and I took him, and then, like a long story short, Parthasarthi Goswami said, I have to excuse myself, my mother is here, these are fine British people, his father was in the RAF, the Royal Air Force of England, and he lives in Oxford, and he said, meet his parents, meet his mother, and his sister, he left, she's 14 years younger, he left, he's sick, and then, they're all here in Vrindavan. And so when the saint comes in, he pays prostrate obeisances to the mother. And his partner was like shocked. The mother, he started saying who he was. And he looked at the mother and said, this is our culture, not just our culture we deal with. And then he began to quote verses that if one is a pure devotee, how so many generations become liberated. He goes on and on like that. It's a nice point in the story. Even Lord Chaitanya didn't have to do something directly. But because somehow, even that person did something wrong, he was related to devotees who were dear to Lord Chaitanya. Somehow that invoked the mercy of the devotees. There's so many points in there. I'm going to have to, it's kind of like the mafia, they make you an offer you can't refuse. Well, when Balaram Baba came to my room personally with his man and said, you must come for prasadam in the evening. And I'm leaving Vrindavan, I'm invited by a Brijbasi and the Sadhu. Then it's an offer I can't refuse. So I'm going to have to go now and... we're going to pick up the Sundays when I'm in the West. I'm thinking maybe after Bhishma Dev to switch to the CC. It's an ocean of death. Would anybody like to say Hare Krishna?
Yeah. Hare Krishna,
Maharaj. You have it now? Who's that?
Hare Krishna, it's Madhini Shakti Das.
Hey, Madhini, one thing I'm doing. One second, I have to do something here.
Thank you very much, yes, Maharaj.
One second. Okay? Okay, don't do that again. I'm not saying that to you. I'm dealing with something here as I have to share with me for a second. I'm going to walk out to Balaram Baba's and take prasadam. Let's go outside for a second. One second, how I do this shit. I have to tell someone something. One second. I know. Hey. One second. I'll be right there. Ready? Hey. Don't do that again. I just go to the speedbox compressor.
Yes, I'm still here, Maharaj.
What?
I'm still here waiting.
Hi, Bol. Nadini. Hi, Krishna.
Hi, Bol. Thank you so much for the wonderful class.
It's not what I like to give, but I kind of have a gift of gab. So I said something, and maybe some realizations came. That's okay. One second. Jagmohan, I'm walking out, so anybody wants to follow me, you'll get a panoramic view of Vrindavan. Jagmohan, take this. I also have some real monkey problem today outside my room. Hold this. I was invited, and I better go. And these people, whether they'll be here or not, I'll have to see. I'll go. Okay. Hi, Bo. Rudy?
Yes, Hari Bo.
Thank you.
I can't believe how well-behaved Tamal Kaviraj has been. He's here on my shoulder. He's been listening to the
conversation. Oh, okay.
He hasn't made too many comments, but he's been rapt in attention.
Okay. Well, all glories to your son, and that's very nice. All blessings, maybe grows up strong from Vrindavan.
Thank you very much. And I think America is soon to become fortunate by your presence here. We very much look forward to your return.
Thank you so much, Lugini. I appreciate that. Okay, anybody else like to say hi, Krishna? Can you just... Who's that?
No problem. This is Mahamuni, Hari Bol.
Hey, Mooney, Hari Bol.
I don't know if you're going to be around New York the 26th, 7th, 8th, or 9th, or whatever, but I'll be around.
You wrote me that letter.
Oh, yeah.
I should be around at that time. I should be around at that time. Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you can go with them.
Take the shot at me and just keep this here, okay? If I need a monkey guard. Yeah, who's this? Go with that. Hare Bol.
Maharaj, I would like to, with your permission, I would like to invite devotees living in New York.
Oh, yeah, I'm having a program next Saturday.
Yeah, I'm
coming. They're not back yet. Hare Krishna. Okay. Bhagavan Baba, can you do one thing? Can you say Hare Krishna to the devotees? I'm on a conference call in America. Just say Hare Krishna to all the devotees.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Welcome, Vrindavan.
Hello. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hello.
Huh? Who's that?
Hello. It's Connor.
Okay, Hare Bol. What's that?
Hello.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Bol. Okay, last one. Anybody else? Hare Bol. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. I'm going to have to go now. Hare Krishna. Thank you all.